On the evening of December 9th, 1965, residents of the town of Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, witnessed an event that was nothing short of spectacular. An object streaking through the sky at what is now estimated at over 1,000 miles per hour was sighted making its way over the town in a brilliant ball of fire. The witnesses on the ground were astounded that this object did not behave in a manner associated with your average meteor or shooting star. The object, hurtling through the sky, suddenly changed direction not once, not twice, but three times as it made its final crash into a nearby forest. Those witnesses first on the scene reported seeing the tops of trees torn off and a long furrow in the earth where the object had made its landing. Reports by multiple witnesses told of a sulfur-like smell that accompanied the crashed object. Within a relatively short time, those witnesses who were investigating out of sheer curiosity found themselves confronted by arriving personnel who claimed to be with the military and instructed the civilians to leave the area due to concerns of radiation. What seemed to be a quick and efficient military operation was underway that night to retrieve the object in total secrecy. No questions were answered and all information regarding the object was kept under wraps. One reporter who had taken photos and detailed notes about the object were allegedly turned over, but only after the implication that the reporter's family could be in danger if he were to reveal his findings to the public. Sounding like something ripped from a sci-fi movie, these actual events all seem to point to a possibility of a crashed UFO that was recovered that night by the U.S. military and then covered up. This case file, the theorists delve into the mysterious events surrounding the Kecksburg UFO incident.
Welcome to Alien Theorists Theorizing, Case File 69, all the time.
69.
I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
Oh my God. Today we're talking about the Kecksburg incident.
The flying acorn.
It's actually fucking super, super cool. Got really into it this afternoon. I was reading all about it.
A lot of unanswered questions. Cool.
Yeah.
A lot of connections you can draw to other stuff too, which will be pretty fun. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. A lot of oddities. And as we like to always say on this podcast, hashtag look it up. And as always, keep those eyes on the skies. Thanks, guys.
Podcast over.
Podcast over. DTT out.
New record. 2 minutes.
Yeah. This one's a quick one for you guys. No, I think we're back onto a good recording regime.
We got locked
I feel
down.
Like we just talked. Did we just do on Thursday?
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
What?
Yeah, like four days ago. No one's going to know. It's going to be every week, though. Every week they're coming out.
Every week.
Now you told them. They can't know our secrets.
Now they know.
No. Anyways, so no, we've got something. The Randomtron's broken. It's down. It's in the dumps.
X3B is being built as we speak.
Yeah, it's. I just looked on our Purolator shipping. Potentially, it crossed the border. We had to order this one from Tanzania.
Well, it's coming. Actually, it's coming in about 15 pieces. I got to have to assemble it here in the studio. So
it's gonna be good. I'll look for that case file 70, new Randomatron. But as always, we got some space news.
Yeah.
I love that someone on Instagram referred to me. They were like, I'm so glad to meet that meat draw guy who yells space news. I was like, really? Is that my only contribution to this? Is I yell space news and that's.
Well, what they said on Instagram, it's true. So
it is. It is on Instagram.
What you got?
I don't. It wasn't actually a good day for space news for me. I don't know. I don't have that much. Not much going on for space. People are gonna hate this, but by the time you listen to this, there some really good chance for auroras, but you're going to miss it. also sent up the Lord of the Rings ring is in the stratosphere right now. Some students from New Zealand.
Snap. Lord Sauron will never get it up there. That's a good idea.
One ring to rule the stratosphere. But they're sending them up all the time, and these students are selling these rings to finance a trip for the school. So if you want one ring, the one ring from Lord of the Rings, that's been to the stratosphere. Hashtag look it up. The New Zealand. I'm trying to find the website. I don't know what it is. But anyways, they're $100. Kind of cool. I was thinking about. Buying one. It's called EarthToSky.net, and it's pretty cool. Fucking little.
Be a nice little conversation starter.
Yeah, you'd be like, listen, this ring I'm wearing right now, it's been in the stratosphere, motherfuckers. Where's your ring been? In the blood. Blood diamonds. anyone else got space news?
I got a little.
Let's hear it.
SpaceX wins $130 million military contract. $130 million military launch contract for Falcon Heavy.
That's actually huge because
that sounds so cool. Falcon Heavy. That sounds awesome. Dope. That's cool.
Well, especially with all the issues going on with Tesla and shit right now. To like win that military contract, like that's gonna be a fucking huge.
That's money there.
Yeah.
Military contracts are nice.
Money. And it's gonna be taking up the AFSPC-52 Air Force Space Command satellite.
This is for the Space Force.
It's for the Space Force. That's the first Space Force satellite. Space Force. I tried to apply. They wouldn't let me.
It's gonna be part of the. If you guys ever see that cartoon show, The Centurions? I imagine that's what the Space Force is like.
I have not.
What? Power Extreme. No? Oh, man. Fuck you guys.
Sorry, man. I actually did have some space news. So if you guys remember, I don't know if it was a month ago or something, that Chinese like space station was just wild and out of control.
Yeah.
Right.
And it just crashed, and they were like, yeah, we meant to do that, but they wouldn't tell anyone where it was going to crash. It was all kind of mysterious. Well, I had read earlier today that their second space station, it's like the brother or sister space station to the first one that crashed, dropped into low orbit, dropped 100 kilometers into a low orbit, and like observers, like NASA observers and stuff were like, oh, I guess they're getting ready for re-entry. And then someone had contacted, because they didn't announce, like normally they announce these things when they're bringing them down and stuff. So then they contacted the Chinese like officials and were like, oh, hey, like just checking in. What's going on with your space station number two there? We noticed that it's in a low Earth orbit. And they were like, no, it's not. And then
with the space station.
And the space station then accelerated and used its thrusters to go back into a more safer orbit. What the fuck is going on over there? It's absolutely crazy.
Get your shit together.
Who's helming the computers over there in China?
No, it's not. It's in a stable orbit. No, tell them to fire the special thrusters. Call them right now.
He's like, who is, has anyone checked the space station? He's like, oh, shit, it's so low. Quick, before they notice.
About to drop
like,
out.
Oh, hey, we just noticed you put it back in a safe orbit. Yes, tests. Complete.
Safety test.
It was always in a safe orbit. I don't know what you're talking about.
I just had a good laugh about that. I was like, the first one, they were like, oh, it's going to rain car-sized debris, potentially over populous areas. And then this one, they're like, hey, it's sitting a little low, eh? Anyone notice? They're like, oh, no, it's not. It's fine. And then obviously caught it afterwards.
Shoot it back up.
That's all I had for space news. I forgot that's what I had read earlier. That's what I wanted to use.
I got one more piece of space news that I'm really interested in, even though it's going to be way too expensive. Blue Origin plans to start selling suborbital space flight tickets next year, 2019. So if you got money, it doesn't say how much it's going to be yet. They're not going to, they haven't disclosed it, but I know it's going to be It's going to be up.
What do you think?
Would it be astronomical?
Well, I don't know. Are they going? Are they flying? Like, are you just going to go up, fly around the world once, and come back? Or are you just flying up and then coming down like different country? Or what? What? I wonder what they're going to offer.
How much do you think? What do you think?
I think there would be like a silver package and like a gold package.
Okay, well, how much is a bronze package to go to space?
Okay, so you just go up to space for like 15 minutes, you come back down. $10,000.
Yes.
Person.
$10,000. All right. So find us on Patreon, Alien Theory. $1 puts to the beer fund. $3 gets you early access to show. $5 gets you everything. $50 your correspondent, and $10,000 pay for us to go to space.
Thank you very much. No, it's cool though. It's happening.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
That's all I
anyways,
got.
Anyways, Dan, any space news?
Negative. No space news on this front.
Oh, I got a new segment.
You do.
Next week I'm gonna make theme song for it, but this week I'm just gonna kind of sing it. Where in the world is Mr. Conspiracy? He's theorizing around the world.
You stole that from that game show.
Here to Yugoslavia.
So if you're much like the Santa tracker of NASA in December, we're going to start the Mr. Conspiracy tracker. And currently, Mr. Conspiracy is in... I got to pull it up here. I know he's in Thailand. Those of you asking if he's made it down under yet, he has not. He is still in Southeast Asia. Last I checked, he was in southern Thailand. So that's our Mr. Conspiracy. Where in the world is he?
If you see him, I don't know. What, do you get something if you find him? Is there a prize to this game?
Well, if you get a picture with Mr. Conspiracy, what should we send people?
Well, can't get a sticker.
Yeah, a sticker. We'll send you a sticker if you get a picture with Mr. Conspiracy.
But you have to do the work. We can't just tell you exactly where he is. You got if you're in southern Thailand, you got to ask, and then we'll give you we'll point you in the right direction.
I'm looking at his most recent post. It looks like he is in. He just says southern Thailand, and his tagline on his picture is him petting a kitty, and it says, spending fitties, sucking titties, petting kitties.
Oh, wow.
So that's our Mr. Conspiracy update. Oh, he's in Koh Lanta, in Krabi, Thailand.
Oh, he's out there on the water.
On the water. Spending fitties, sucking titties, petting kitties. Oh, what a guy. Anyways, if you're in the area of those Mr. Conspiracy, you want to try to meet up with him, message us. We'll try to message him, and he may or may not try to meet up with you. It's hard to say.
Very hard.
How he's feeling day to day.
Yeah,
let's get into the Kecksburg.
Kecksburg.
Dan,
take it away.
December 9th, 1965, at approximately 4:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, a fiery owl.
Exactly. It was a party that Frankie Valli was attending with the other Four Seasons.
Yeah.
a fiery object took about 5 to 10 minutes to carve a path across three states, an estimated speed of almost 1,000 miles per hour. Now, witnesses said that you could observe this object. Witnesses said that it looked like a giant fireball. But what was strange about this, if it were flying through the sky, you might mistake it for a fireball, except for the small fact that this fireball seemed to change directions up to almost 3 to 4 times. They said it started out going in it shifted from a southeasterly trajectory to an easterly one, later where it turned southward, and near the end of its flight, it finally turned northeast as it approached its final landing. This case is interesting because there are so many corroborating witnesses. There are so many people across those three states who saw this strange UFO.
Yeah, like thousands.
See this across, and it's not even this. There's actually, I think there was actually witnesses in Canada as well, from where it came in. And so many people saw this, not only flying through the sky, but we have a couple of other ones that were actually saw it or claimed to see where the object crashed and saw the object itself. Now, you have at least one person who saw it coming down to the sky. His name is Randy Overly, and he described a large brownish-gray object that was on fire, and it was traveling overhead about 200 feet in the air. When people actually got to the site, there were more than a few people that actually made it to the site. John Murphy is the guy that will come up later, but he was a news reporter for WHJB at the time, and he was at the scene and met up with one person named Carl Metz, who was a member of the Pennsylvania State Police at the time. And this was about 7:20 p.m. Where another state police and another investigator entered the woods with flashlights and a Geiger counter and looked for what they expected to be a downed aircraft. Now, they can go ahead and say that they saw, while looking for this thing, they saw something like flashing blue lights coming from the area. The lights were pulsating, and they said it looked a lot like the arcs coming from a welding torch. Now, as soon as this thing crashed, I mean, they were getting tons of phone calls into the local radio station about people talking about when they were seeing a fireball, a meteor, all these different kinds of things, downed aircraft. And at first, a few people just thought it was a prank until they started getting more reliable phone calls. And then soon after, not only after the state police showed up, you had military and even some people reported people from NASA showing up at this place. So you could go ahead and see. Now, James Romanski was an 18-year-old firefighter at the time from nearby Lloydsville. And they came in, they were brought in to help look for this downed aircraft. Now, upon their arrival, they were shown a map, and it was marked off in a grid, and they're all assigned to teams and told which areas which they should be searching. Now, when he and members of his teams actually went searching in the woods, they received a walkie-talkie call that something had been found. And when they got to the area where the thing had been found, he reported to have seen a large acorn-shaped metallic object about 10 to 15 feet long, 8 to 12 feet in diameter, partially buried in the ground. And it was at the end of a long trench where it had plowed in the ground, where it just hit real hard through the trees. Now, he said the object had a dark gold or bronze coloring, had no wings or windows. There appeared to be no way in or out of the object. There were no doors, no identifiable hatches or anything, or windows. The object seemed to be completely smooth with no seams or rivets. Now, another strange thing that he observed is he said that encircling the base of the object was a ring. And this ring seemed to be covered with what he said were symbols that reminded him of ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics.
But I get that, but I want to point out something. They just looked alien to him. It doesn't mean that they look like hieroglyphs. He just was saying that, like, that's the closest thing that he's seen that he could attribute these to. Because so much I read, people were like, oh, they had hieroglyphs on. It's like, well, no, you don't really know what they had. But the closest thing that this guy who said he saw them was he's seen hieroglyphs, and he was like, he's kind of resembled them.
Wait a minute. Aliens built Egypt, so they used hieroglyphs, and this is obviously an alien spacecraft, so it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Easy to draw a connection, of course.
Quick connection.
But yeah, no, I'm with Braden on this one. Like, to an average American, any language could look like Egyptian hieroglyphics if it weren't, if you don't use the traditional, you know, Greekish symbols that we do, A, B, C, D, and it could be something. So, I mean, he might have not known what the language is. It could have just been some different language. Could have been even.
It could have been Russian, for all I know.
Interesting.
Bring that back. Come back to that.
Come back to that
later. Moments later, after Romansky and his friends or his fellow rescuers showed up on the site, what looked like to be a group of military personnel carrying what looked to be Geiger counters showed up. And these guys told them that the area is going to be sealed off and that no one was going to be allowed to it except for authorized personnel. And they were told to leave. So now you have the military showing up, and this is where things get kind of crazy after you had the military show up. So, I mean, the military showed up and shut the whole place down, telling everybody to leave. And I mean, a lot of people said that they saw people in what looked to be probably radiation suits. A lot of people walking around with Geiger counters, what looked like to be Geiger counters. And there were a lot of warnings of radiation in the area.
So like this place went from fucking 0 to 100.
Yeah. It went real fast. Right, so like within like about 4:45 PM to like 7:20, maybe like 8 PM. So about 4 hours. And then you've already got military personnel on the area, like combing the area, telling people like you need to stay out. Do not go inside here, telling everybody to leave and that the area is restricted.
So in this thing, whatever flew over, it had started fires, caused sonic booms in the Pittsburgh and, metropolitan area, was seen over Detroit, Michigan, Windsor, Canada area, and northern Idaho and Michigan were dripped with hot metal debris that, started a bunch of fires and shit.
Yeah, and not only did the Army show up, like obviously they're probably, any type of crashing, anything, they're probably going to show up, especially in the States, but they showed up like pretty much within an hour. They were pretty much there, at least some of them, and by 8 p.m. that night, whatever was there, it was gone.
Yeah.
So in order to do that, they'd have to be tracking it. But in all the accounts, like all the debunking says, everyone says it's a meteor, right? That was the initial claim. And so if the military was tracking just a meteor, it doesn't make sense. They were obviously tracking this object and they knew pretty much where it was going to land. And they were there before anyone could really do anything about it.
Yeah. And then they secure the area. They order out all the civilians. And then they're seen, a flatbed truck is seen loading something out of the area, taking off with a military escort. And then the military say, hey, we searched. We didn't find shit. There's nothing here. This is crazy.
Whoa.
Why do you have to rope off everything? Why does everything need to be roped off? You need to tell the civilians to leave and then to search an area for what's going to be a meteor or a downed plane.
Well, just it makes it easier for them to dictate the story, right? If they can, no matter what it is, if they control and keep people out and limit the people's eyes, they can pretty much say whatever they want. And then it's like, now it's just like now it's a debate almost. There's no, it's hard to find the real truth.
Right. And there was a lot of disagreement on what the story was, like the complete story of what it is, because the military people at first they were kind of saying it was a meteor, but also there are also some people that we're getting reports of, like they're just trying to say that nothing happened. You know, at least one of the fire chiefs was trying to tell his firemen that you didn't see anything. Don't say anything. You didn't see anything. Nothing happened. And that was a point of contention between a couple of the firefighters, between their boss and them, was the boss was trying to tell them that there was nothing. You didn't see anything. Nothing happened tonight. You know?
Yeah. So let's get in. What should we get into? What the various things that they think it is?
Sure.
Okay. So the official explanation, it was that it was a mid-sized meteor. But right away, like with the amount of people that said it slowed, changed directions, dripping metal, like, I would instantly count, like, that doesn't make sense to me, that all that for a meteor. Like, why couldn't you just be like, oh, hey, it was a meteor, like a meteor hit. Like, why the secrecy? That's, I don't understand all that, the big hoorah for a meteor. Well, you know what I mean?
That also, like, to me, when all the witnesses said they've seen it and they could see it moving across the sky, like, relatively slowly.
Yeah.
Meteors are, like, honestly like 30,000 kilometers an hour to like 200,000 kilometers an hour. They fly. So then usually when you see them, it's just like a flash for like 2 or 3 seconds, like whoa, and then it blows up. It's gone.
We have literally firsthand account on this podcast of what happens when a meteor strikes. Ryan was one of the first people at a scene of a meteor that pounded through the roof of a house.
It did. Broke through a house.
Did the military come and rope everything off and say nothing happened?
Well, this is in Canada, so no, they did not. But yes, I mean, it was going, meteors go fucking fast. They're not like, you're not going to like watch them fly slowly and change direction. Really, like you just, it just doesn't happen. So I don't know. It's weird.
I mean, they're definitely not going to change direction like this one did. Even if like they broke apart, you know, you would still see pieces like going in the same direction, maybe some falling off, but you wouldn't see something change a whole.
Yeah. It'd be pretty obvious if you saw stuff broken up. You're like, oh, that must be a meteor or something's losing pieces.
Yeah. No, like that, and that was like, and like all the astronomers, they never really took into account any eyewitness. They just like, they thought that's what it could be. So that's what they went with. And that they didn't really like try and investigate anything else. It was just like,
all right, what else do we got here?
Well, that was the longest running theory.
Yeah.
It then goes, obviously, just like Roswell, then starts, there's secret military operations it could be.
Well, another thing before we get into secret military and shit. Another official report was that it was Cosmos 96,
mm-hmm.
a Soviet space probe intended for Venus,
right.
but failed and never left Earth's atmosphere.
Right.
Now, this one, if you can look at pictures of the Cosmos, you know, it's kind of got the shape, right? If it had some Russian writing on there and you had someone that went and looked and they're like, what the fuck is that? You know what I mean? It account for the hieroglyphs. It can account for when Romansky, is that his name?
Yeah.
When he said it was smooth metal, I read something where it was like, well, if this thing was having a hard time leaving the atmosphere and was just like stuck in the atmosphere, like just burning up, maybe it got so hot that it like all the friction and stuff like melted it smooth.
Right. Fused all the rivets and stuff.
Fused all the rivets and everything. So it was just a gleaming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of checks that box. But two huge glaring issues for me is that one, that if it got so hot that it sheared all the metal, I doubt any kind of Russian language would be, you know what I mean?
Would be
visible. Yeah, would have survived the
would have survived that.
Yeah.
And then secondly, this Romansky guy, he later went and visited the Cosmos 96 and he was like, absolutely not. He goes, he's like, this thing you couldn't stand up in. The thing I saw, you could literally walk in and stand up in. It was huge. This was not it at all. Doesn't look anything like it.
But the crash object was claimed to have no visible like door or anything, right?
No, but he's saying that just its sheer size,
it could be in there.
You could have stood up in it. And in this Cosmos, he goes, no, this is too small. This wasn't it. This isn't what I saw.
And yeah, that doesn't make sense either, like the change of direction. Like if it's a satellite out of commission and it's been burnt up
on
the reentry.
They were saying that it's not a satellite. It was like an actual probe. It was like a Venus. It was a probe that was supposed to land on Venus and peak readings and stuff. So if its computers like thought it may have gotten confused and thought that Earth, like it was doing its reentry procedures, like it was doing its reentry maneuers. And so that's why it
on
did
Earth,
the change
rather
direction.
Than Venus,
yeah, rather than Earth, rather than Venus. It's a possibility if it were that space probe. And if you're wondering why the U.S. military wouldn't have just said that it was a space probe, like earlier that decade, 1962, like the U.S. and the USSR had signed an agreement pretty much with the U.N. saying that any type of like spacecraft that it kind of came crashing down from either country, if it was recovered, it was supposed to be returned. Down spacecraft were supposed to be returned to the country of origin. So they didn't want, you know, if it was a space satellite or space probe, they definitely didn't want to tell the Russians about it because they wanted to reverse engineer whatever that they had.
Yeah, so they wanted to get it out of there quick before anyone could identify it, because then if it was identified, because Russia, no country is going to be like, oh yeah, our thing fucked up. They're going to be like, no, it worked fine. It's off to Venus. However, in a 1991 report, U.S. Space Command concluded that the Cosmos 96 had crashed in Canada at 3:18 a.m. on December 9th, 1965, 13 hours before the fireball, thought to be the Keksberg object undergoing reentry, was recorded at 4:45 p.m. In addition, in a 2003 interview, chief scientist for orbital debris at the NASA Johnson Space Center, Nicholas L. Johnson, stated, "I can tell you categorically that there is no way that any debris from the Cosmos 96 could have landed in Pennsylvania anywhere around 4:45 p.m. That's an absolute. Orbital mechanics are very strict."
Hmm. There you go.
So this seemingly takes out Cosmos 96.
Fuck off, Cosmos. You're out.
Fuck off. Cosmos, you're out. So we're back into what else could it be, Dan?
One of the other things that it was thought to be was, well, it could have very well been an alien spacecraft. I mean, that's one of the prevailing theories. Now, this is a weird one because, actually, in the 1990s, they had two unnamed or anonymous sources come forward. These two individuals, which went by the names of Myron and JS, were individuals that they said they worked for a brick manufacturing company in Ohio. Now, they stated that they delivered a load of bricks to one of the nearby Air Force bases. This was, I believe it was Wright-Patterson Air Force. Yeah, they were delivering the bricks to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, where allegedly they took this object. The military had loaded it up on a truck. They had taken it, well, first to Lockburn Air Force Base near Columbus, Ohio, where it temporarily stopped off. And then from Lockburn, they took it to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. Now, Myron and JS were said they were both working for a brick manufacturing company at that time. And when they were delivering a large load of bricks, they came across this large bell-shaped object sitting in a lowboy trailer in a large hangar where they were taking the bricks. Now, they saw this object inside the building, and Myron said that he spoke to one of the workers leaving the building and asked him what they were working on. And for some reason, this guy felt obliged to tell them that they were having trouble cutting a hole in this object, and there possibly was radiation present inside the building. So they said that this is why they were bringing the special bricks. These bricks apparently were designed so they could build a building around the object to keep the radiation contained. Now, apparently there was mention that the craft might even contain bodies, and they were said that apparently they may have retrieved at least one body, and it was partially visible. And they were saying that the nature of the body was, some of it was, had features that were commonly associated with extraterrestrial aliens. And I don't know how far you can take that stuff, but you know, if you're just having anonymous sources, so.
I'll tell you what, it had three fingers. And it was scaly like a reptilian.
Mm-hmm.
That's what some people say. I don't know. So I don't know who said it, but I read it everywhere.
Okay, and we can't. So now let's go with that for a bit. So obviously, people call this like, is it Pennsylvania Roswell? What do they call? I can't remember.
Yeah, Pennsylvania's Roswell.
Pennsylvania's Roswell. Now, the interesting thing is, so we have the military, we have like credible sources saying that they saw shit. The firefighter Romanansky, tons of eyewitness accounts. Military comes in, seals everything off, super mysterious, getting radiation readings in the woods. They seal it off, tell everyone to scram, load something up on a flatbed truck, escort it out of there. Search a little longer and say nothing's happened. We can't. So obviously like in my, in, you know, they're hiding something or hiding what they found. Some say cover it up. So we can't not talk about John Murphy in this.
Oh, definitely not. You can't talk about this thing without talking about John Murphy.
Because this is an interesting kind of twist to this. So John Murphy was a reporter and a news director for the local radio station. I don't know what it is. Let's call it
WHJB.
I was going to say just Power 104, but okay,
WHJB, the Rocket.
And, the Rocket. So he arrived at the scene before authorities in response to a bunch of citizens sounding the alarms and whatnot. He took several photographs and conducted interviews with witnesses. It basically documented everything of that night. Now, his former wife later reported that all but one roll of film were confiscated by the military personnel when they showed up. So he was taking pictures, taking interviews, recording people. Military shows up. They're like, hey, give us everything. You can't have any of this.
Yeah, he had worked for like several weeks interviewing witnesses, and he was actually preparing a documentary.
No. So what I read is he had stuff taken from him then, and he was like, "Okay, well, I saw something." So the military, what I had read is that they had taken stuff from him right then and there, and he was like, "Well, I'd seen something." So he started. He had kept a roll of film, and he was putting together the interviews and stuff that he had with people.
Oh, right.
And then, so the military came in, they're like, hey, we found nothing, but you can't have any of that footage or any of the pictures you took. We're taking it. So he's now intrigued because he's like, I fucking saw something. There was something there. Like everyone's accounts, like this is not nothing. It's something. So he starts putting together this documentary, and he's going to call it Object in the Woods, and it's going to feature his experiences and the interviews that he conducted that night. The WHJB office manager, Mabel Mazza, described the pictures that he had from the last roll of film. And he said it was very dark. There was a lot of trees and everything. And I don't know how far away the site was, but I did see a picture of a cone-like thing. It's the only time I ever saw it. So he's putting together this interview, this documentary called Object in the Woods. This has engulfed his life. Shortly before the documentary was supposed to air, two men in black suits identifying themselves as government officials requested to speak with him alone behind closed doors. They talked for him for about 30 minutes, and a WHJB employee, Linda Osha, said the men confiscated some of Murphy's audio tapes and that no one knows what happens to those remaining photographs. Murphy ended up airing a censored version of the documentary that he claimed in the introduction, and it had to be censored because most of the interviewees requested their statements be removed because they were in fear of getting in trouble with the police or the army. So it sounds like to me, most of the people that talked on this were given a little bit of a shakedown. So the version that he released essentially contained nothing. It was boring. And no one gave a shit about it. And Murphy's wife said the documentary that aired, she had seen the original, and it was completely, entirely different from the one he had originally written. So after airing, like he was very like upset, and this he had spent so much time on this, he completely stopped all investigation of the case, and he refused. If anyone ever brought it up, he refused to talk about it. And when people were like, well, why don't you want to talk about this? He said like he wouldn't tell them. He'd never give them a reason why he didn't want to talk about it. He was just frustrated, and he wanted nothing to do with it. In February 1969, Murphy was struck and killed by an unidentified car while on vacation in Ventura, California, in an apparent hit and run while crossing a road. The person or car has never been found. No one knows who killed him. It's still an unsolved case. So this guy with all this information and had studied this, he essentially just dies, and anything that he knew, that's one loose end cut short.
Wait, when did he die? What year?
1969. So four or five years after.
Right. So he was on the trail.
He was on the trail. He was working on it, and then he was told to stop. So this is my theory. My theory is that he was shooken down. They're like, listen, you can't talk about what you said. Like you it's going to be bad for you. Just stop. And he secretly kept investigating it and checking leads.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was taken out as a hit to keep what he knew a secret.
He was silenced. Yeah.
He was silenced.
Yeah, tie everything up in a nice, neat little package.
Like 1969, hit and run, unsolved. Like just in Ventura, California. I don't know how big Ventura, California is, but imagine it's quite a few people.
Well, that's part of, like, is that part of LA County?
Yeah, it's 100,000 people.
It's a pretty big city.
But you know what I mean? Like Ryan, you live in a, Zell, you live in a city of just over 100,000 people. During the day, someone walking down, say a tourist, they're probably in a more touristy area. Car drives, crosses the crosswalk, clips him, kills him.
Well, it depends when, where he, like, was he struck, like, right downtown, or was it?
There's not even a fucking description of the car that hit him. It's unknown. Unknown the car that hit him. They just say apparent hit and run because of his injuries.
Oh, so no witnesses have actually seen it.
There's no witnesses to anything.
So he could have... He could have been fucking dumped there. Yeah, exactly. Could have been beaten to death with like or whatever, and then just dumped on the sidewalk, and someone finds him and like, oh, this guy must have been hit by a car. He's dead. Yeah.
Way too weird.
Super weird.
Yeah. So what else we got about the old Kecksburg?
Well, one of the theories, just like similar to Roswell, it was actually a U.S. military vehicle that came down, and that's why the immediate military response. And what they think it was a General Electric Mark II re-entry vehicle that had been launched by the Air Force as a spy satellite but fell out of orbit and crashed there. It was supposed to be
I have a hard time with that because I think if it was a military vehicle, they would have been on it way faster than they were.
Well, they were there within an hour. Like, it's fucking pretty good.
Yeah, I guess so, but
that's...
You know what I mean? Like, people would have been monitoring it. You would have known it was in trouble. You're telling me the closest, like, military, you could get military personnel out there was an... I'm sure
they were on standby. Yeah, I'm sure they were, like, on standby. They weren't sure exactly where it was going to land, but they would have had... I mean, you can't just put them near where you think they're going to land. They probably would have just put it... They would have had them on the base, from the nearest base.
Well, just like our friends in the Chinese space agency, they didn't really know where that thing was coming down.
Yeah.
They probably had a guess. They're like, well, it's going to be around like the Great Lakes somewhere. So like whatever our closest base is, stand by, like it's coming down around this time.
Yeah.
But so that's one of the theories, and it came out like 40 years later. That's one of the theories. This guy, these people have been like investigating it, and they're trying to tie up the loose ends is what they're trying to do. So it was like John Ventura. He was the director for a MUFON network around that area, and he was part of this case with Owen Eichler, who like he's been spent decades researching this, and they came up with it in like February 2015. So it's like a pretty new thing, and they think that it was this General Electric Mark II reentry vehicle, which was some advanced spy satellite at the time in the Cold War. So that would explain some stuff, but I don't know.
It still doesn't. To me, the one blaring one with that is if it's some sort of, like, it didn't have, no one describes it as having rivets. No one, everyone, like, they describe it as like so smooth with the hieroglyphics, right?
Right. Like if, satellites and stuff that time, like if you would have saw one that came down, you'd be able to see like chunks like, of oh, it. Like it was all in one piece, you know?
There would be no question in my mind. You know what I mean? If I saw a rivet, I'd be like, oh, okay, well, this is man-made.
Yeah.
Like, here's a little debunking. Like, here's debunking of
just
it.
Just the way like all this stuff, like satellites and stuff are designed. They're not exactly like aerodynamic. They don't look perfectly smooth. It's like if it's a satellite or something, it's just like a big freaking square box.
Well, and they're not strong. Satellites are not built strong. Like if it burns up on the atmosphere and then hits the ground, it's not coming away in one big acorn-shaped 10 to 12-foot piece.
Yeah.
It's coming away in like 1,000 pieces.
Right. I mean, most of these things like are just, if they do break out of their orbit, they're made to be... You know, they'll burn up in the atmosphere and won't be smashing down into some neighborhood.
Yeah. So that's like the really only other theory that's been proposed of what it could be besides like the prevailing theory is a meteorite, but it changed directions and it was not going nearly fast enough. So I don't know. I'm still on board fucking UFO, man.
I 100% think a UFO.
Something came down. Something not of like... Earth military capability came down fully intact. Well, I don't know if it wasn't fully intact, but a big piece of it was intact, 10 to 12 feet, shaped like an acorn.
Mm-hmm.
Changed directions on the way down. Military's there within an hour. It was gone by 8 o'clock that night.
There is one more theory. I didn't want to bring this one out because I know we can do a full episode on this one later.
Bring it up.
I mean, there is one more theory that this thing, this large acorn thing had a similar structure into what some people call the Nazi bell or Die Glocke.
Die Glocke.
Die Glocke. Now, if you don't know what the Nazi bell is or what is known as Die Glocke, which just means bell in German, this was a supposed Nazi super weapon. So if you want to see photos of it or what are alleged photos of it, hashtag look it up. But we'll probably do an episode about this, the whole thing later.
Just the Nazis in general, yeah.
Yeah, but Nazi super weapons in general. But this one was supposed to have been some sort of device that was able to affect space-time fabric, allowing the Nazis or the controllers to be able to alter the flow of time. And it was supposedly powered by some sort of purple-colored radioactive liquid, or some people was what they called red mercury, which were all contained in these rapidly rotating cylinders, and they would create some sort of, you know, space time field or something when you spun them at a certain frequency or something like that, how it worked. So some people are saying that maybe the U.S. was testing out a version of this, or perhaps it was the original bell, and it somehow jumped forward in time to the 1960s. We're not really sure. Some people draw that, some people draw that connection, because of the similar structure, and I'm not ruling it out. It'd be neat if it was, but you know, even you know, that could be something that it was, you know, if you saw maybe German writing or something like that, stylized writing, you could have thought it was hieroglyphics, maybe writing,
maybe.
To me, the hard thing is the writing and the sheer metal don't go hand in hand.
Yeah.
If it's sheer metal, but man-made, you would think it was because it got hot, it like melted all together. But it would, if that's the theory, then it surely would have destroyed any, you know, even if something was etched into the metal.
I mean, it would have to be pretty big or pretty solid to like draw like a huge furrow in the ground, like coming down like that. What they said was how it plowed in the ground.
Yeah.
Because really, if it were a satellite, I think most of it would have burnt up and you wouldn't have really had like a smooth, you know, perfectly smooth object at the end. You'd have something that just looked like a bunch of like jagged pieces of metal all burnt and melted together.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, it just
doesn't add up. I'm on board with UFO.
aliens.
I think between like the military coming, shipping something out, saying it's nothing, confiscating pictures, You know what I mean? Going, this guy's making a documentary, them going and like essentially like bullying him and like pressuring him to not do anything. I think UFO 100%.
Okay. So now say it's a UFO. The witnesses said there was no way or didn't appear to be like a way into the craft. So now is this like a UFO drone? Or what would it be?
Well, some of the reports with the bodies and stuff, I imagine it'd be a probe. It'd be a probe sent from somewhere else. It was just going to, you know, kind of like we probe areas and hit the atmosphere. Wasn't expecting, you know, whatever
they fucked up.
Yeah.
Down she went.
Didn't account for some sort of math was wrong. Determining our atmosphere, right? And it burned off some, maybe a sheared off a piece when it was entering that, like, I don't know, and just fucked it up. So then it just crash landed.
Yeah. Like you always hear the argument, like, oh, if aliens were so advanced, like their spaceships would never crash. And like, well, it's still technology. I'm sure they still have malfunctions.
Man. And even if they, I mean, it might not have been a probe. It could have been a manned vehicle, but just like you, I would assume they'd have ways to like seal their crafts that were just, that don't look like, they don't need hinges or things like that. It could be something else. Some other, you know, they could just make the door appear or like their technology is the point, you know, it's.
The door just seals itself pretty much. So you can't even tell it's there.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So this thing was like, I guess like the size of like a small car, 10 to 12 feet long. So you could, I guess, if you had like some type of hidden door, have one or two people in there or entities. And then you do read the reports that went back to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and bodies were recovered. But they're pretty thin on that side of it. But I'm not ruling it out, that's for sure. It can't be a meteor. It seems impossible.
Yeah, with the direction changes, I mean, just the direction changes alone kind of, for me, just rules out.
And the speed. Meteor. And the speed, man.
Yeah, and the speed. And it was really slow. Like, 1,000 miles per hour is like, that's not that much, I don't think. I mean, it's fast, but it's not.
That's what, Mach meteor 1.5 or something?
Mach 2? Yeah, what's Mach? It's 700 something miles per hour. So, Mach 1.5. Yeah, just about.
Something like that. So it's like not out of the range of human capabilities. So it's not that fast, really.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anything else on what it could be? Or any other strange facts that we didn't bring up yet?
I don't have anything else on.
I think we did a pretty good.
Pretty much went through all the main
information
theories.
That they do have is pretty much what we got.
Yeah, it's like one of those things that happened so long ago is before the information age. So like a lot of the stuff like came out years and years after and people try and piece it together and then the story's just full of holes. But I don't know, it is strange that for 50 years it was just ruled that it was just a meteorite. You're like, huh, well, seems fishy.
Yeah, just a lot of people saw something and I don't think a lot of them believe that it was a UFO. And there's just too much weird. Like, you have people walking around trying to suppress information. You got government agents going around and trying to change the story. So, I want to say that it's definitely a cover-up of what it is. Not 100% sure. But I think there was definitely a cover-up about what it was.
Oh, 100%. Because
you don't have, the military rushing out there to go pick up a meteor. Like, you don't. That doesn't happen.
No, you don't. Yeah, exactly. Like the only two things are it doesn't make sense. The easiest answer for me is to go to it was UFO, not necessarily aliens, but it was something extraterrestrial.
Yep.
It hits all my points. The other things just don't add up. Like there's like satellite. I'm like, okay, yes, but. You know, the satellites are actually smaller than what was said. They're not smooth. They don't travel like that through the sky.
It's intact. It's an intact piece.
It just doesn't make sense.
It can't be one. If it's a satellite, it can't be in like one solid piece that they can lift out on a deck and take out.
No.
They're picking through it with garbage pickers and fucking hands and knees, getting all the pieces because it's been fucking annihilated.
Yeah, there was nothing else. Like, you think people would be like, oh, like I found this piece and I found this piece. But like, they're like, no, there wasn't. Like, people don't really have like a collection of like, oh, this is a piece of metal from that day.
Yeah. Yeah, no one has anything. Well, if Mr. Conspiracy was here, he'd say Kecksburg incident still unsolved.
Hashtag
look it up. It's fucking cool. It's one of the cooler UFO stories I've looked into recently.
Yeah, definitely neat. Just the fact that there's so many people that saw something.
Saw something for sure. Cool.
Yep. So what else we got? Moving on.
What else do we got? I got a couple of things in the news here. Alien theorist news.
Let's hear it.
For all the people on Android phones. Google Podcasts is now a thing. The rival app to Apple Podcasts. Google has put out their own app. So if you're sick of using a third-party app that doesn't...
Welcome to the game, Google.
Google. 10 years late, but they're in. Yeah. But that for podcasters, that's a big deal because it's going to open up like a huge portion of the market. Because that Google app's going to be installed on all new Android phones.
It's going to be awesome.
So the people who have never heard about podcasts will see the app and it'll kind of snowball like it did for Apple, right? So it's, yeah. Apple is 70% of the podcast market right now. So I think there's room for like, there's probably hundreds of millions of more people that are going to come on the market now with this Google podcast for sure, which is pretty sweet. Also, Alien Theorist Theorizing is now on Spotify.
Damn, we made it.
God damn, it took like 2.5 months to get on there. They don't fuck around with what podcast they choose. So we made it. So you can
we made it.
You can search.
We're done. We made it. We peaked.
We peaked. Spotify's that's the top. It's all downhill from here.
It's the tippy top.
No, so lots of different listening options for Alien Theorists now. Braden, what do you got?
I got some new reviews.
Let's do it.
Ready for this? Ready for new reviews?
Are you ready? I'm ready.
Let me prepare my fragile ego.
They're all good reviews.
Oh, yay.
This is from JC104 from Canada on June 18th. Awesome podcast. 5 stars. This podcast has everything I love. Aliens, ghosts, conspiracies, with lots of bantering and sarcasm to keep you engaged in laughing. Keep it up, boys.
Fuck yeah.
I'm really good with sarcasm.
What? Are you being sarcastic? This is a 5-star review from definitely not a crazy person from the US of A. Perfect and oddly addictive. 8 out of 5. Educational and highly scientific podcast. Well, that's a bold-faced lie. But now I can't pronounce sorry correctly. Netflix won't respond to my demands for an ATT and Trailer Park Boys crossover. But that's just how she goes.
That would be dope.
That's when we've made it.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. You know what? We should message, what's that actor's name who plays Ricky? We should message him and be like, hey, we talked about like space and shit. Like, can you come on our podcast as Ricky one time?
Oh, yeah.
And
you know what? I bet you we could get him.
You know what? I think so too.
He's pretty easy.
Those guys are like so
guy.
Proudly Canadian too.
Yeah. We'll just tell him like, hey man, we're the Trailer Park Boys of the conspiracy world. You gotta come on.
Yeah. You gotta come on. We need Ricky. If you can get the other guy, sweet, but like having Ricky come on and do some Ricky-isms would be
spit a bunch of Ricky-isms would be hilarious. Yeah. I got some reviews on. Oh, here's another piece of news. for all the people who couldn't review on all their podcast apps because you didn't have an Apple app, you can now review on Facebook if you want to get your review read. So I'm going to read one off the old book here from Brady Barrow. Hilarious podcast covering a wide variety of very interesting topics in a very laid-back setting, which still informs the listener of the topic. Skip Mr. Conspiracy's Power Hours. Those disinform the listener. Well, most of them.
I think they all do a little bit. But.
Most of them do, but some of them are good. Other than that, knockout 10-star show. Live long and prolapse and keep that eye in the sky.
Love it.
Awesome.
Hey, we got a prolapse for the week. You got another review?
I'll do a quick review here on Facebook. Really short one. Justin Rivera. Fucking brilliant. That's it.
What else needs to be said?
Zell's prolapse of the week.
Dun, 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 dun.
This girl.
Who got it? Who done it?
Madeline Sit. Sit with two T's. She has been, she's a new listener, and she's been messaging me a couple times on Facebook here, and she loves the podcast. So Madeline Sit, we'll give it to you and your sister, but you didn't tell your sister's name. You guys listen all the time. Thank you very much.
Huzzah.
Dope, 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 dope.
Anything else? Anything else before?
Well, what I'm going to do, I'm not going to read Patreon today, but on number 70, I'm going to read all the Patreons, every single one of you motherfuckers. Thanks. But today,
so get your name in there before episode 70.
Number 70.
What's your name?
You're all getting another shout out. And that's all I got. Oh, no. I got one more thing.
This is so anticlimactic.
I got like 10 more things.
All right, let's go.
No, if you like rock and roll, look up my band, Lucky Monkey, on all your streaming services. Push play and then repeat all day for 2 weeks. That'd be sweet. All right, that's it. That's all I got.
Also, if you like music and you want to come to a music festival, you can come to a music festival with me and Zell. We're going to Grizzfest in August. It's way up in Tumbler Ridge. Zell's band Lucky Monkey will be playing in the Battle of the Bands on the Friday, looking to play a spot on Sunday. I can't really remember who's playing the festival. We're just going for fun.
I'll tell you, it's fucking Monster Truck.
And
the Lazies from Australia.
Tell me how to live. I don't really know.
Sweet Mountain River, man. Yeah, fucking great tunes. And I think like Bedouin Soundclash is playing, and like fucking Brett Michaels or something too.
I fucking love Bedouin Soundclash. Brett Michaels. Every rose has its thorn.
Nice.
Just like every night has its dawn. Just like it.
Braden will not be singing at...
Sings a sad song. Every rose has its thorn. I hope he leaves the stage right after.
Just one song he's out? Or one chorus?
Yeah, one chorus and then he's done. Because I'll be crying.
All right, we're
anyways.
AlienTheorist.com to find us.
AlienTheorist.com. You know where to find your boys now.
That's it.
You're this far. You know where to find us. As we always say, keep those eyes in the skies. After Hours.
Yeah.
Yo, got some after hours coming at you. That was it. You know what? I'll say we started just about on time.
Pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Pretty close. We probably podcasted for a nice clean hour.
It was actually almost exactly 1 hour.
I felt we summarized everything neatly, nicely, presented all the facts that we have. Close the tone. I think that may have been... procedurally, at least, the crispest podcast we've ever done.
Yep. I think that took the least amount of prep time.
It took the least amount of prep, and it took the least amount of fucking segues and the least amount of bullshit to get through it.
No, we just talked. It's an interesting one. We just talked this about it. Cool. We literally just talked about it for an hour. Just talked about the facts.
Like,
interesting.
Like, it's a bit cool one to find, like, get one of those people on who's been researching it for a long time and really, really get into it.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.